This classic episode of the Children's Bible Hour is from 1976.
Hi, everybody. It's time for another visit with all your friends from the Children's Bible Hour.
Boys and girls for Jesus, this our earnest prayer. Boys and girls for Jesus, home and school and play and everywhere. We'll tell the world of life in Jesus. He is all our song. There is all you need in Jesus. Won't you come along?
And now, here's Uncle Charlie.
Hi, Uncle Charlie.
Greetings, my friend. I'm glad you've joined us. Boy, have we got a packed program today, so I'll keep my chatter to a minimum and get right down to business. Oh, you might want to round up paper and pencil, because we're going to have a treasure hunt today. And if you don't know what that's all about, I'll tell you, but you will need a paper and a pencil for it. Our sing time today is going to be dedicated especially to all of you who live out in the country. I know this includes lots of you, because about 40% of our mail comes with a rural route return address. Perhaps many of you also attend a country church. Our sing time is especially for you then, for our cheerful cousins have a super-duper sing time lined up that ties up a whole bunch of good sing-along songs. Cousins, take us for a visit to the old country church. Hey, that was fun, wasn't it? 12-year-old Steve's song is a good old-timer, too, and if you know the words, you can sing along as Steve plays Blessed Assurance.
Thank you.
what the word evolution means? Well, if you take science in a public school, you probably do, for evolution teaches us that everything came from one tiny little cell billions of years ago. But as Christians, we believe what the Bible says, that God created the heavens and the earth and all the animals and people on earth today. We believe it's a miracle of God, not just some chance happening. Peter, Jay, and Ann have a delightful duet that tells us all about this. It's called It's a Miracle.
What drives the stars without making a sound? Why don't they crash when spinning around? What holds me up when the world's upside down? I know it's a miracle. Who tells the oceans where to stop on the sand? What keeps the water back from drowning the land? Who makes the rules? I don't understand. I know it's a miracle. It's a miracle just to know God is with me wherever I go. It's a miracle as big as can be that He can make a miracle of me.
Yes, it is a miracle of God's grace that we are even alive right now. Our lives didn't just happen. They were planned by a loving God. As 11-year-old Rachel says it in her song, I could not live without Him.
I've a peace in my heart that the world never gave. I've a peace that has come there to
Now it's time for our monthly visit with our little friend Julie. And Julie brought somebody with her again. What's this doll's name?
Patty Prayer.
Patty Prayer. Well, does she say a prayer?
Yeah.
Does she really?
Yeah. Listen.
Okay. Well, that was quite a nice prayer. Help me to be a good girl. Do you pray that prayer at night too, Julie?
Yeah, with my dolly.
Oh, you pray along with your dolly. What are you singing for us today?
I want to see my Savior first of all.
Well, you know, this song was suggested by one of our listeners who said, you know, since Julie is blind and has been blind since she was born, the very first thing that she'll ever see will be the Lord Jesus. And so, Julie, you sing, I want to see my Savior.
In heaven there are many things I'm longing so to see. Its beauty surely will my soul enthrall. But when I'm ushered to the realms of blessed eternity, I want to see my Savior first of all.
Let's take a moment for that treasure hunt I mentioned, okay? In a few minutes, we'll be having our story called Passing Grade. As you can probably guess, it has something to do with school. Have you ever wondered what school was like back in the days when Jesus was on earth and, you know, back in the Old Testament days? Well, I'm sure they didn't have nice big buildings with gymnasiums and everything as we do today. In fact, the history books tell us that usually school was held right in a teacher's home. The school went by the name of the teacher. Parents who could afford it would pay the teacher to teach their children right in the teacher's own home. The word school is found only one time in the Bible, at least in the King James Version, and it's in the book of Acts, chapter 19. It tells there about the school of a certain man, and it gives the name of that teacher. Now, for your treasure hunt, I want to know the name of the teacher of the school mentioned in Acts, chapter 19, and it's somewhere in the first 10 verses. Now, this is a little bit of a hard treasure hunt. The man's name's not easy to pronounce. It isn't like John or Peter or something easy like that. So in order to get this question right, you're going to have to look up the answer. Read Acts, chapter 19, the first 10 verses, and tell me who is mentioned along with the word school. The verse talks about the school of so-and-so, and it gives the man's name, and I want to know his name. Do you think you're sharp enough to find the answer? This treasure hunt is a little harder than some we've given, so you'll have to use the old noodle to get the right answer. Now, here's the question and the clue once more. Read Acts, chapter 19, and somewhere in verses 1 through 10, you'll find the words, the school of, and then a man's name is mentioned, and I want to know what that name is. Hey, by the way, have you sent yet for Keys for Kids? If not, I hope you'll get your request in the mail right away. Keys for Kids, it's our devotional designed to be read to and by kids of school age. Oh, I wish you could sit at my desk and read some of the literally thousands of letters that we get from those who are using Keys for Kids. Each day, you take your Keys for Kids book, you look up the scripture that's suggested, you read those few verses, then you read the story, ask yourself the questions that we put in the How About You section, and you think about the thought for the day, the key for the day, and then you go on your way, rejoicing that the Lord has helped you through Keys for Kids. But you know something? It can't help you if you don't have it. So I hope you'll write today and ask for Keys for Kids. It's free for the asking, one free copy per family, please.
Here's where to write.
Uncle Charlie, Box 1, Grand Rapids, Michigan. That's Uncle Charlie, Box 1, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49501.
And now, Lynette, with a very meaningful go-along-with-the-story song, In Everything I Do.
Jesus saved me, I am His, and His I'll ever be. A testimony to His grace, I want my life to be. In everything I do, with every word I say, I want to glorify my Lord in every way. My daily prayer shall be, oh, keep me ever true. I want to please my Lord. What He wants me to be, and by His grace I'll live for Him until He comes for me. In everything I do, with every word I say, I want to glorify my Lord in every way. My daily prayer shall be, oh, keep me ever true. I want to please my Lord in everything I do.
Don't go away, kids. It's story time.
Our story today, written especially for the Children's Bible Hour by Bernard Palmer, is entitled Passing Grade. Math had been very hard for Betty ever since she started to school, although she got good enough grades in the rest of her subjects. Now that she's in the seventh grade, she finds it even worse. She studies as hard as she can, but still she isn't able to master it. As our story opens, she's sitting in the kitchen with her math book before her, and her brother Ted is studying also.
Boy, did you see the slick new band uniforms?
No, did they come in?
Just this afternoon. And are they ever neat? The caps have big red and white plumes on them, and there are white belts and everything.
I'm so glad they came. I was afraid maybe they wouldn't be here in time for the parade contest in Glenville.
So is Mr. Williams, but they're here now, and they'll be given out tomorrow after school.
Oh, I'd love to see them.
You could have if you'd been out for practice this afternoon. By the way, where were you? Everyone was asking about you.
I had to go in and see Mr. Hawthorne about my math.
Are you having trouble with that again?
He tried and tried to show me how to work the problems, but I just couldn't understand it.
Well, you keep studying. We're going to need you in the clarinet section in the contest next week.
You don't think they'd keep me from marching with a band just because of math, do you, Ted?
Well, it's happened before.
Oh, I'd just die if I didn't get to play with a band.
Just stay in there pitching. You'll probably make it all right.
Would you help me a little, Ted? I've got 4 or 5 more problems that I just have to get finished tonight.
Betty, I asked you to stay after school tonight because, I want to talk to you about your math.
Yes, Mr. Hawthorne.
Now, you know that you haven't been doing very well, don't you?
I thought I was doing a little better lately.
Well, you aren't doing well enough. Take today's paper, for example. You only got 65% after coming in and having me help you, too.
But I don't understand those problems.
Well, I think the real trouble is that you don't like math, and so you just don't apply yourself.
I don't like math very well.
That's what I thought. Betty, do you know what we mean by eligibility rules?
I'm not sure.
Well, the school feels that only those students who are getting acceptable grades in their studies should be allowed to take part in outside activities.
I see.
Now, your grades in math just haven't been acceptable, Betty. In fact, if I had to make out a report card today, I'd have to give you a failing grade.
Do you mean that I won't get to play in the band?
Well, I have an eligibility list here on my desk that's supposed to go in tonight or tomorrow. Now, we're having a test in math tomorrow morning. If you should get a good mark in that test, then I'll be able to give you a passing grade.
You mean I have a chance to make it up so I can stay in the band?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Hawthorne. Thank you very much.
Betty prayed harder that night than she had ever prayed before. She just had to pass that test. When she finally drifted off to sleep, she dreamed of numbers. Rows and rows of numbers chasing her wherever she went. The next morning, Betty took the test. She was terribly worried about passing. That is, she was worried until she had been working for 10 or 15 minutes and noticed that by raising up in her seat a little, she could see Dale Baker's paper. Then, because Betty wanted to play with the band so badly, she did something she had never done in her life before. She copied. Now the test is finished, and Betty is talking to Ted.
Well, how'd you come out in the test this morning?
All right, I think.
Was it hard?
Not so bad.
Do you think you passed?
I think so. In fact, I'm sure I did.
Well, you sure don't act very happy about it. What's the matter?
Nothing. I'm all right.
Well, you sure don't act like it. You look like you've lost your best friend.
I'll be all right, Ted.
At the time that Betty had copied from the boy sitting in front of her, she thought that would be the end of it. She'd get to go with the band to Glenville, and everything would be all right again. But she soon found that nothing had been made right by her cheating. When she picked up her Bible that night to read before going to bed, and later when she knelt to pray, she could hear a voice saying to her, "You cheated, Betty! You cheated! You cheated! Cheated! Cheated!" Well, Betty, I put you on the eligibility list this morning.
That's fine, Mr. Hawthorne.
Your paper was very good. Surprisingly good, in fact.
The questions weren't very hard.
That means you'll be able to play with the band next week at Glenville.
I know.
I must say, you don't sound very happy about it.
But I am. I'm as happy as I can be.
Oh, there you are, Betty. I've been looking for you. Mr. Williams wants to see you. He's got your uniform and he wants to see if it fits.
Is it all right if I go, Mr. Hawthorne?
No, of course, Betty. You can come back to class whenever you're finished. Betty's uniform fit perfectly. But there was a lump in her throat as she put it on and stood before the mirror. That uniform didn't belong to her. She had earned the right to wear it by cheating. She had no right to wear it at all. Suddenly, she knew what she had to do.
Mr. Hawthorne?
Yes?
Could I speak to you a minute?
Oh, why, certainly, Betty. What can I do for you?
I didn't take that band uniform.
You didn't? But why?
I hate to tell you this, Mr. Hawthorne, but I didn't sleep at all last night. I cheated on the test yesterday. I I looked on Dale Baker's paper. That's how I got such a good grade on the test.
Do you mean to tell me that you copied yesterday?
I'm awfully sorry. When I did it, I thought I wanted to play in the band bad enough to do anything.
I didn't know that you had copied. You would never have been found out, Betty.
God knew. And I profess to be a Christian. I just couldn't sin like that. Cheating, just so I could play with the band. Would you forgive me, Mr. Hawthorne?
Of course I will, Betty. And I think it's wonderful that your faith means enough to you that you'll come to me and confess that you've done something wrong.
You have no idea how good it feels not to have that terrible feeling of guilt. I don't care if I can't play with the band. At least I know that I've done what God wanted me to do.
Whatever you're going to be honest. Now, that's good advice in a world where cheating is the accepted thing. But it's not acceptable to God, and so it shouldn't be acceptable to us. I hope that today's story helped you and that you'll determine to be honest no matter what happens. These visits are made possible by the Faith Missionary Ministry of the Children's Bible Hour. I'd like to hear from you this week. My address again, Uncle Charlie, Box 1, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Bye now.